The Lord Pelic stood on the slope below Mace, holding the reins of a saddled grasser.
Jedi Windu, you are sent for Dorshalo.
Mace did not need to ask by whom. Where is she?
An hour's ride ahead, resting in her howdah. She no longer walks.
Mace felt dizzy. The world shifted focus as though he looked at its reflection in a rippling pool.
An hour? No longer walks?
It made no sense, but in the Force, it felt like the truth.
She was here. She was just here. Oh.
But she was... She greeted me and... Mace passed a hand over his skull, checking for blood or swelling, searching for a head wound. She was with me. Mace stared at the traces of Portak amber that stained his palms.
It is Pelekortan, you recall.
The Force? You're saying it was some kind of Force vision?
Pelekortan brings us waking dreams of our desires and our fears.
It seemed so real. It seemed more real than you do. Faster shrugged.
It was. Only Pelekortan is real. Everything else is forms and shadows, less even than a cloud or a memory. We are Pelekortan's dream. Have the Jedi forgotten this as well?
A dream, Mace heard himself murmur. A dream. Vastor gestured for him to mount up.
Dream she may be, but refuse her summons, and you will learn how swiftly dream turns to nightmare.
Mace climbed into the saddle without telling the Lord Pelic that he already knew. And you, Kar Vastor, what visions does Pelekortan bring to you? His response was a limitless stare, inhuman, as full of unguessable danger as the jungle itself.
Why should Pelekortan show me anything? I have no fears.
From the private journals of Mace Windu.
Kar Vastor led my grasser on foot. He was able to find a path through the densest, most tangled undergrowth so effortlessly that we could move at a steady trot. After a time, I began to believe, as I now do, that his ability to move through the jungle was only half perception. The other half was raw power. In that ride from the rear to the front of the gorilla's line of march, I got my first view of the fabled Upland Liberation Force, the ULF, terror of the jungle, mortal enemy of the militia, ruthless, unstoppable warriors who had driven the Confederacy of Independent Systems off this planet. They were barely alive. Their march was a ragged column of walking wounded, tracking each other through the jungle by splashes of blood and rich stink of infection. They were heading for their base in the mountains, where they had gathered nearly all that was left of the Korin people, all their elders and their invalids, their children, and what was left of their herds. Gunships circled like vultures over the jungle. They harassed us constantly, often firing down at random through the jungle canopy, or sweeping overhead to set vast swaths of fire with their sunfire flame projectors. The gorillas barely seemed to notice. They slogged along, those who would walk, with heads down, as though they had already accepted that sooner or later, one of those carpets of flame would fall upon them all. There were 28, all told. 2 dozen jungle prospectors and the 4 surviving children. The Jups were left to stagger along, supporting each other as best they could, dragging those who could not walk on smaller versions of the travoy hauled by the grassers. They were watched only by a pair of Vastor's Ack guards and 6 of their fierce Ack dogs. As Vastor led Mace past, he explained that the guards and dogs were there only to make sure the Balawipe did not steal weapons or supplies from wounded Koronai, or otherwise attack their captors. The guards didn't need rifles. Any prisoner who wished to escape into the jungle was welcome to. That is, after all, what was going to happen to them anyway. Stripped of everything but their clothing and boots, they would be turned loose in the jungle, left to make their way to whatever safety they might be able to find. Tan Peltrokal, Jungle Justice. A few paces beyond, where the Balawai prisoners stumbled along the jungle floor, Mace Windu reached past the grasser's nose and took its reins in one hand.
This is far enough. Leave me here.
Vaster stopped, looking back over his massive shoulder.
Deepa awaits.
She's waited for weeks. She'll wait a few hours more.
For the first time since the battle at the Notch Pass, Mace felt calm.
Go on without me. I will attend her when I choose.
You are sent for. She is not to be defied.
Vaster turned and tugged on the reins, but Mace had them in his fist, and they might as well have been bolted to a cliff.
You will regret this.
I am a Jedi Master and a senior member of the Jedi Council, Mace said patiently. I am a general of the Grand Army of the Republic. I am not to be sent for. If she wants to see me, she will find me at the Steamcrawler track before dusk.
I have said I will deliver you.
Mace matched his stare exactly.
Funny, that's almost what Nick said. He didn't have much luck with it either.
My orders
are your problem.
Mace let the reins fall and spread his open hands.
Unless you choose to make them our problem. You can do that right now if you like.
You will come with me.
No.
Dark power clutched at Mace's will.
You will come with me.
Slowly, reluctantly, Mace slid himself out of the saddle and slipped to the ground. He took two steps toward Vaster and stopped.
I no longer enjoy your company, said the Jedi Master. Go now. Do not return to me without Deepa.
Vaster's eyes widened. His mouth worked soundlessly.
You and I should not be alone together.
Tendons stood out in Vaster's neck, winching his head downward and pulling his lips away from his sharp, filed teeth.
I do not wish to fight you, Doshalo. Deepa will be angry to find you dead.
Then you'd best be on your way,
Mace replied reasonably.
Don't want to make Deepa angry, do you?
And what should I tell her you are doing here?
Nothing that I can be bothered to explain to you.
Mace turned back to his grasser and took its reins once more.
Any questions Deepa might have, she should ask me herself.
With one last glare that Mace could feel as though a lens focused sunlight on his skin, Vaster whirled away and plunged into the jungle, loping up the line of march. Mace watched him go, bleak satisfaction on his face. He thought, so much for being the welcome guest.
Mace caught Nick Rostu's eye and beckoned.
Nick turned the children's grasser over to one of the Balawai and trotted over to the Jedi Master, keeping one eye turned toward the departing Ack guard.
Here, hold him. Mace handed the grasser's reins to Nick. We have a move to make. Mount up. You're going to lead these prisoners to the steamcrawler track so that the militia can find them and pick them up.
Nick's mouth dropped open.
We? Me? Why would I want to do something like that?
Because I gave them the word of a Jedi Master that if they surrendered, I would keep them from harm. I will not be made a liar.
What's your word got to do with me?
Nothing at all, Mace said. I'm sure you enjoy thinking about Keela being disemboweled by a vine cat. When you think of Pell, do you see her starving to death in a grip leaf net? Or having her eyes pecked out by jacunas? Nick looked sick.
Hey, easy with that Tusker poop, huh?
You think the boys will be gored by Tuskers or shredded by brass vines? Or maybe they'll get lucky and fall into a death hollow. At least that is relatively swift, as their lungs are eaten by caustic fumes and their own tears scald their faces like acid.
The young Corrin turned away.
You have any idea what Kar and Deepa will do to me?
You've been over the ground in this region. If I lead them myself, I'll end up losing us all in the jungle. Mount up. Right now.
Nick mounted up.
Kar Vaster,
the Jedi Master said, looking again into the jungle, this time up the line of march where the Lor Pelek had vanished.
is not the most dangerous man in the Coronal Highland. Nick shook his head.
You only say that because you don't really know him.
I say that, replied Mace Windu, because he doesn't know me.
The prisoners limped along in ragged knots, holding each other up and nervously eyeing the pacing ack-dogs. Mace forced his way through the tangled undergrowth toward them, Nick close behind on the grasser.
Am I missing something here?
Nick leaned over to speak softly, one arm bent across the back of the grasser's thick neck.
Last night, these Ruskaks were trying to carve off a hunk of roast Windu.
This Tan Peltrakal. Mace's voice was equally low and far more grim. You approve of it?
Sure.
Nick glanced at the grasser that the children rode and swiftly looked away.
Well, in principle, anyway.
His vivid eyes went narrow and cynical.
At least they got a chance.
How many survive?
Some.
Half? A quarter? 1 in 100?
How should I know?
Nick shrugged.
Does it make a difference?
Mace Windu said. Not to me.
Nick closed his eyes and leaned his head against the grasser's ear, as though exhausted or in pain.
You've gone bats, haven't you? He said. You're completely insane.
Mace stopped. A twitch of frown drew a vertical crease between his eyebrows.
No, just the opposite, in fact.
What's that supposed to mean?
But Mace was already walking away. Nick muttered a curse on all fraggin' Jedi who use nickel nuts for brains, then goaded the grasser along after him. When the prisoners saw them coming, a man's voice said,
It's the Jedi. No, the other one. The real Jedi.
Mace chose not to ask what he meant by the real Jedi. Some few of the prisoners clustered toward him, straightening their clothing and forcing their faces into expressions of hope. Most just stopped where they were, swaying with exhaustion or stumbling against the great gray trees. A few tens of meters downslope, the two ack guards stared up at Mace with undisguised hostility. Two of the six ack dogs on prisoner duty slouched sullenly nearby. The children's grasser was led by a man that Mace recognized as Erno and Nykel's father. He dropped the reins and threw himself on the ground at Mace's feet.
Please, please, your honor, your highness,
he sobbed, face down into the jungle floor.
Please don't let them kill my boys. Do what you want with me. I deserve it, I know. I'm sorry for what I've done, but my boys...
Stand up, Mace said sternly. Jedi are not to be knelt to. We are not your masters, but your servants. Stand up.
Slowly, the astonished man pulled himself to his feet.
Your honor?
Call me Master Windu.
Mace swept past him and opened his arms, beckoning to all the prisoners.
Gather round. I'll need you all to stick closer together. I'm going to send you back to the city. You're going home, all of you.
Nick muttered,
Don't make promises you can't keep.
I never do.
You don't think Carr and those ack guards down there are going to have something to say about it?
I'm aware of their opinion already. I have my own.
The Tan Peltrakal,
Nick said, means nothing to me, Mace said. I don't care about jungle justice. I care about Jedi justice, and I will see it done.
Jedi justice, my weeping saddle sores. You still don't get it, do you? Jedi anything doesn't mean squat out here.
I understand the rules now. You read them to me yourself. Then Carvasta taught me what they mean. Now I can start to play.
That's just it, Nick insisted. You're in the jungle now. There are no rules.
Of course there are. Don't be an idiot. Nick blinked.
You're kidding, right? You're making a joke.
Stay here and watch, Mace told him, working his way down toward the ack guards. Then tell me what you think of my sense of humor.
One of the guards moved to block the Jedi Master's path.
We're going, Windu Jedi.
Mace had to tilt his head back to meet the Corran stare.
I don't know your name.
You can call me...
I didn't ask your name, Mace cut him off. I just don't know it. I don't need to. You should get out of my way.
The guard's eyes looked scalded and more than slightly crazed.
Out of your way, little Jedi.
I am taking the prisoners to the steamcrawler track.
Mace nodded in that general direction.
I can go past you, or I can go over you. You pick.
Over me? Can fly you?
The vibro shield strapped to his forearm snarled to life.
Draw your toy weapon, little Jedi. Go ahead.
Draw! My lightsaber? Why should I?
Mace raised a finger to tap his own forehead.
This is the only weapon I need.
Yeah? What? Think me to death, you gonna?
You misunderstand.
By way of explanation, he splattered the Corran's nose with a sharp headbutt. Mace stepped back to let the semi-conscious man collapse. The other guard snarled and lunged at Mace's back, only to find himself facing the business end of a sizzling purple lightsaber.
He's alive, Mace said calmly. So are you, for now. The next one of you pathetic cretins who raises a hand to me will die for it. Do you understand?
The Corran only stared at him with murder on his face.
Answer me, Mace roared.
With a convulsive snarl, he threw his lightsaber on the ground at the Corran's feet. Faster than the eye could follow, his hand flashed out, his thumb hooking the Corran's cheek while his fingers dug in behind the hinge of the man's jaw.
Do you understand me?
The astonished Corran could only blink and mumble and try to shake his head. Mace released the man's face with a contemptuous shove that sent the guard stumbling backwards. Mace opened his empty hand, and his lightsaber flipped up from the ground and smacked into his palm. He tucked it back into the holster inside his vest.
Never get in my way. His voice was again icily calm. Ever.
Icy rain splashed down through the canopy, and thunder rolled like turbojets of gunships passing overhead. Mace walked a few paces behind Nick's bedraggled grasser. Every once in a while, a hunk or two of the hail that the thunderhead above spat down would bounce its way all the way through the layers of leaf and branch and vine and give someone a knock. By the time they reached ground level, most of these hailstones had melted down to about half the size of Mace's fist. Too small to be dangerous, though still large enough to raise stinging welts on his head. The Balawai prisoners gathered ones that fell nearby, sucking on them to melt them in their mouths. In the Force, Mace felt the hot, fierce sting of an approaching Ak-Dog. A moment later, he felt a nudge on his right shoulder blade. He reached up to tug on Nick's ankle.
Keep them going,
he said, raising his voice over the hiss of the rain.
I'll be right back.
A few steps off their line of march, a man's shadow began to take shape through the rain-blurred gloom. Mace walked toward it, weaving between trees and moving vines aside with a gesture, to find the bruised Ak-Guard heading for him carrying one of the Balawai.
Fell out, this one. Think he's fevered me.
The guard set the Balawai on his feet.
Better keep someone with him, you.
Mace nodded as he looped the man's good arm over his shoulders.
Thank you. I'll look after him.
The guard frowned down at them.
Gonna kill you for this, Karis. Know that you?
I appreciate your concern.
No concern. Just telling, that's all.
Thank you.
The guard frowned a moment longer, then gave an elaborate shrug before he turned away and faded once more into the gloom. Mace thoughtfully watched him go. The two Ak-Guards hadn't been hard to co-opt. While Nick wrangled the Balawai into something resembling marching order, Mace had worked his way back upslope to where one stood watching him, while the one he'd knocked down still sat on the ground, massaging his broken nose. Mace squatted beside him.
How's your face? He'd asked gravely.
The guard's voice was half muffled by his hands.
Why care you?
It's no dishonor to lose to a Jedi, Mace had said. Here, let me see.
When the astonished Akgar took his hands away from his face, Mace put his hands to either side of the man's nose and popped the bone straight with one brisk twisting squeeze. The sudden sharp pain made the Koran gasp, but it was over so quickly, he didn't even have time to yelp. After that, he could only blink in wonder.
Hey, feels better that. How'd you?
Sorry I lost my temper, May said, standing to include the other act guard. But I can't back down from a challenge. You understand. The two Korans exchanged a glance, and they both nodded reluctantly, as Mace had known they would. I think you're both solid, Mace went on. Strong fighters. That's why I went at you so hard. You're too dangerous for me to play games with. The Koran with the broken nose had said in a tone of generous concession,
Got a stone sweet head about you.
Now the other act could not resist chiming in.
And that grab on my face was a Jedi thing that? Never seen it before me. Maybe teach me you.
Mace had no more time for pleasantries.
Listen, I know taking the prisoners will cause trouble with Carr, and I know you'll be in trouble for letting them go with me. Why don't you stay with us? Bring your dogs. Keep the Balawai in line, and don't let any of them get lost. It's not like Carr won't know where we're going. I told him myself. And if you're along, he won't have any trouble finding us. You can feel each other in Pelikotan, right?
Again, they had exchanged glances, and again they had nodded.
If Carr wants these prisoners, he can take them from me himself. How can he blame you for losing if he's afraid to step up?
To a dark-soaked Koran, this was undeniable logic. And so Mace Windu had acquired a pair of Koran shepherds for his flock of Balawai. Mace had cemented Nick's assistance with a similar technique. As they were about to turn aside from the ULF column, Mace had stood thoughtfully alongside Nick's grasser.
Nick, I'm going to need an aide.
An aide? What for?
Like you said when you picked me up in Pelag Baw. I'm not from around here. I need someone who can look after me, give me advice, that kind of thing.
You want advice? Flush the frag in Balawai and shag your Jedi butt back up the column. Make some kissy face with Carr and Deepa before they chop you into sausage. Any other advice you want, feel free to ask.
That's what I'm doing.
Huh?
I need someone who knows his way around out here. Someone I can trust.
Nick snorted.
Good fragging luck. I wouldn't trust anyone out here.
I don't, Mace told him. Except you.
Me?
You're the only trustworthy man I've met in Harun Kaul, Mace had said solidly.
Ooh, fragging Ray. Look where it's gotten me.
It's gotten you, Mace said. A chance to join the personal staff of a general of the Grand Army of the Republic.
Yeah?
Nick began to look interested.
What's it pay?
Nothing, Mace admitted,
and Nick's face fell, but the Jedi Master went on.
Though when I leave this planet, I'll be taking my staff with me.
Nick's eyes recovered a little spark.
With a brevet rank of, let's say, Major, and once we get to Coruscant, I'll be needing staff instructors to train officers in guerrilla tactics. A few months as an urban and jungle warfare consultant affiliated with the Jedi Temple should make you pretty attractive to all those mercenary captains out there. You might even get your own company. Isn't that what you want?
You bet you're sweet. Yeah, I mean, no, sir. General. Major Rostu at the General's service. Sir.
At ease, Major.
Mace had said as he finally returned the young Koran salute.
Move them out.
They broke out of the trees on a small promontory that ended in a sheer cliff. Jungle swarmed its base 100 meters below. They had been sidestepping down a long switchback, heading for the canyon floor. The thunderstorm swept to their rear as Mace and Nick broke out from the trees. And in the near distance, through the canyon's mouth ahead, only a click away, glowing now with afternoon sun blazing red slanted from a crystal sky, lay the broad curve of the steam crawler track.
There it is,
Nick said. His voice was low and grim.
Pretty, ain't it?
Yes, pretty.
Mace stepped around the grasser.
Pity we didn't make it.
Any Force-sensitive could have felt the menace that lay across their path. To Mace, it felt like an arc of forest fire ripping through the trees. Nick nodded. He unslung his rifle, checked the clip, and cocked it. Just couldn't move fast enough. The Ack guard with the broken nose came out of the trees. The six dogs and the other guard were fanned out behind the prisoners.
Hard luck, huh? Told you car would come me.
Yes.
Mace folded his arms. He turned to the Ack guard.
You can go to him if you like.
Maybe we'll us.
The Corrin had recovered some of his former swagger.
Not going nowhere, you, huh?
It seems not.
Knots of exhausted Balawai untied themselves and frayed to pieces to let the departing Ackguard through. Nick fingered his rifle.
Think they'll really go down there to Carr?
Not at all, Mace said crisply. They'll move up the switchback to cut off our retreat.
Don't much like the sound of that. What's our move?
You tell me, Major.
Nick blinked.
I can't believe you're asking me.
What I'm asking you, Mace said, is not what we're going to do, but what we should do. Let me put it another way. What does Carr think we'll do?
Well...
Nick looked back up the trail, then forward down toward the mouth of the canyon and the steam crawler track.
We should split up. If the prisoners scatter, some might slip through while Carr's rounding up the rest.
Exactly.
Mace pointed at the boy's father.
You, get the others out of the trees. I want all of you on this rock. On your knees, with your hands behind your heads.
The Balaw gaped.
Are you crazy?
Mace folded his arms across his chest.
Anyone who doesn't want to do what I say is welcome to take their chances with the jungle and the ULF.
The man turned away, shaking his head.
What are we gonna do?
Nick asked.
Something else.
You know, if you hadn't told Carr about going to the steam crawler track... he wouldn't be down there right now.
Yes. He would have overtaken us in the jungle, and we wouldn't have had a chance.
Wait. I get it.
Understanding dawned on Nick's face.
You were expecting this.
Mace nodded. Nick looked impressed.
Carr's not an easy man to lie to.
Mace gave him a sidelong look.
Who lied? I told him that he and Deepa would be able to find me at the steam crawler track this afternoon. The lie is in what he assumed I meant, not in what I said.
And you had me lead because you figured he'd be able to guess what route I'd take. And you brought the Ack guards along so that he'd be able to track us.
Mace nodded.
But why?
To get us all in a place just like this. Here... I'm sure he thinks he has everyone boxed.
And he does.
So he's in no hurry to come and collect us. Now, what's the steam crawler track good for, in view of our purpose? It's a broad open area where any passing gunship will spot these people, and it's clear enough to use as a landing zone.
Yeah?
So how much good does it do him to cut us off from an open area?
Mace reached inside his vest and pulled out the lightsabers. He tossed Deepa's to Nick, who caught it reflexively.
When all we need is a little time, and we can make one of our own.
From the private journals of Mace Windu.
It took only minutes to clear a landing zone. I had used the force to pile some of the smaller trees, intending to kindle their damp wood with my blade to make a huge smoking bonfire. But I didn't have to. Before we had even cleared the zone, three flights of gunships swarmed overhead. They didn't seem to have much difficulty understanding the situation. 28 kneeling Balawai, with fingers laced together behind their necks, must have made matters clear enough. We had barely begun cutting when we had both felt Vaster's forces drawing tight around us. A living noose. As Nick would say, it was time to saddle up. But before we left, I crouched beside the father of Erno and Nykel. I want you to take a message to Colonel Gepton. He looked dazed and his words slurred with exhaustion. Gepton? The security chief in Pelic Baw? How am I supposed to get in to see him? He'll debrief you personally, I said. He will. Tell him the Jedi Master has handled his Jedi problem. Tell him that if he disarms his irregulars and withdraws the militia from the Highland, this war is over. He has my word on it. I rose and stood over him so that my shadow fell across his face. Tell him that if he does not do as I suggest, he'll be the problem, and I will solve him. I led Nick off into the jungle without waiting for a reply.
Night was falling, and the sun slanted low through the canyon mouth. Navigating was easy. They loped through the thickening twilight, heading directly toward where the Force showed Mace maximum threat.
"So you've handled the malicious Jedi problem, have you?"
Nick muttered as they jogged under the trees.
"That'll come as a surprise to Carr and Deepa, I'm guessing."
"I'm not interested in Carr," Mace said. "I'm only interested in Deepa. Where's the nearest subspace comm?" Nick shrugged.
"The Lorshan Pass Caverns? That's our base. It's only a couple days away. If we can ever lose the fraggin' gunships. Why?"
"Less than a day after you get me subspace comm, Deepa and I will be leaving this planet. I am willing to waste no more time. I need subspace to call for extraction."
Fury chuffed into the Force like the steam from their nostrils. Moving out of the gloom-haunted trees came all six of the Ak-Guards. They wore their vibro-shields pushed up over their biceps, freeing their hands for the assault rifles and grenade launchers they carried. The Force hummed with anger, as though every one of them resonated on a single harmonic. May said,
"I think Carr might be a little upset about those prisoners after all."
Nick stood with his back against Mace's, where once Deepa would have been, where Deepa should have been, where, in any sane universe, she would be right now.
A massive shadow approached through the trees, low and huge, with side-bent legs and immense splay-clawed feet. The immense shadow crashed closer, its walk a symphony of splintering trees. It was an Ankox. A massive armored saurian, the Ankox is the largest land animal on Harun Kal. Ankoxes are twice the size of grassers, more than half again the mass of a full-grown bantha, but are built low and wide, with a broad dorsal shell like an oval soup plate turned upside down. The dorsal shell of this one was nearly 3 meters wide and well over 4 meters long. A drover's chair was bolted to the top of the Ankox's crown shell, a convex disc of armor that caps the Ankox's head. When an Ankox retracts its head and legs, its crown shell and all six knee shells fit into gaps in its armor as snugly as airlocks, enabling the Ankox to survive washes of volcanic gas that it cannot outrun. The drover did not sit, but stood wide-legged on the crown armor behind the chair, brandishing a long pole that ended in a sharp-looking hook to use as a goad in directing the Ankox's path. Carr Vastor. The air around him shimmered with his rage. The only part of the Ankox's body that is not armored is its extensile, muscular, surprisingly flexible tail. The tail is tipped with a thick round ball of armor, and an adult Ankox can snap its tail faster than the human eye can see, using that mace to accurately strike targets up to 8 meters away with enough power to stun an Ak-Dog or shatter a small tree. There was a time before the reopening of Harun Kal to the civilized galaxy when a mace taken from a juvenile Ankox was the traditional weapon of Corrin herdsmen. Dangerous to acquire, difficult to use, deadly in effect. On the central bulge of this Ankox's dorsal shell had been built a howdah, small curtained cabin framed with lamus wood, 2 meters by three, barely larger than the long padded chaise within. With the sunset behind, Mace could see her shape through the curtains. The Ankox crunched to a ponderous stop, settling onto its ventral shell with a long hiss through its teeth like gas venting from pneumatic landing jacks. Vastor tucked the goad into its holster, bolted to the Ankox's crown shell. then stepped forward over the drover chair and folded his thick muscled arms. He stared down into the eyes of the Jedi Master.
You were sent for.
Mace sighed, looking bored. Vastor's growl thickened.
Defiance carries a price.
Mace hooked his thumbs in his belt and walked casually forward. I told you already, I am not to be sent for. Since you have brought her to me as ordered, I'll see her now.
I don't take orders. Deepa is here at her own request.
Oh?
She came to say goodbye.
I'm not going anywhere. Vastor vaulted to the ground.
Make your goodbyes. Then you are leaving.
Mace sighed, still looking bored. Excuse me, he said, and sidestepped around the lower pellic to vault onto the dorsal shell of the Ankox. He had time to wonder if his pretense of confidence was fooling anyone. Mace looked up at the howdah, now only a step or two away. His mouth had gone entirely dry. He still couldn't feel her. Even this close, finally, after all this time, whatever presence she cast in the Force blended invisibly into the jungle night around them. A slim brown hand took one edge of the curtains. She drew the curtain aside. She sat on the edge of a long padded chaise. She wore the tatters of Jedi robes over the rough homespun of a jungle Corrin. Her face was every bit as thin as he had seen at the outpost, her cheekbones sharp and her jaw going prominent. The burn scar was there, from one corner of her hardship-thinned mouth to the point of her jaw. But instead of a blindfold, she wore the strip of dirty rag tied around her forehead, concealing the greater mark of illumination, or the scar it had left behind. The lesser mark still glinted gold on the bridge of her nose, and though her eyes were bloodshot and pain-haunted, her gaze was clear and level, and, after all, she was Deepa Balaba. Mace, she said slowly, a single jewel of a tear welled in one eye. Mace, Master Windu. Hello, Deepa. He opened his vest and produced her lightsaber. I have kept this safe for you. As she reached for it, her hand trembled even more. Thank you, Master, she said slowly, with exhausted formality. I am honored to receive it from your hand. Her smile turned more genuine. She looked down at her lightsaber, turning it over and over in her hand as though she didn't quite remember what it was for. She lowered her head until he could no longer see her eyes. Oh, Mace, how could you?
Deepa?
How could you be so arrogant, so stupid, so blind? Though her words were angry, her voice was only tired. I wish you should have come to me, Mace. You should have asked me. I could have told you.
Why innocent children had to die?
Her head hung even lower. We all have to die, Mace.
I'm not here to argue with you, Deepa. I'm here to take you home.
Home, she echoed, and raised her head again. Her eyes were event horizons, infinitely deep and infinitely dark. You use that word as though it means something.
It does to me.
But it doesn't. Not anymore. Not even to you. You just haven't realized it yet. She sighed a bleak, bitter chuckle, as dark as her eyes, and swung her trembling hand at the jungle around them. This is home. As much home as any place will ever be. For any of us. For all of us. That's what I brought you here to learn, Mace. But now, you've fouled everything. It's falling apart and flying off in all directions. You have to leave here, Mace. You have to leave right now, or Carr will kill you.
I'm planning on it, Mace agreed. And you're coming with me.
Oh, she said. The fire inside her dwindled, and her strength with it. Oh, you think I can just leave?
You must leave, Deepa.
I don't know what you think is holding you here.
Do you understand that I am not in command here?
May shrugged. Is anyone?
Exactly, she said. You are alive right now because Carr doesn't want to upset me. That's the only reason. Not because I can order him to do anything. Because I asked him. I asked to give you a chance to run away. Because Carr likes me.
Mace turned and looked down at the men and axe in the jungle. The Lor Pelek paced back and forth in front of the Ankox's head, stalking like a hungry vine cat, flicking glances up at Mace and Deepa and away again, as though he did not want to be caught looking.
Vaster commands the ULF?
There is no ULF, Deepa hissed. The ULF is a name, that's all. I made it up. The Upland Liberation Front is a make-believe bogey on which to blame every raid and ambush and theft and petty sabotage, and I don't know what all.
Your reports.
Reports.
She looked like she wanted to grab him and shake him, but was just too tired.
What should I have told you? You've seen a little of Harun Kaul. What could I have said to make you understand?
You don't have to make me understand. All you have to do is come with me.
Mace, listen to me. I can't.
She sagged and lowered her face into her hands.
Carr is willing to let you go only because I'm staying, to keep you away from me. If I leave with you, going through the jungle, Mace, think of it, on foot, on grassers, even in a steam crawler, all the way back to Pelek Baw? Haven't you seen enough of him today to know that nowhere in the jungle could you ever be safe?
The weight in Mace's chest lightened, just a bit. He swallowed, and found that his breath came more easily. She was afraid for him. She had not fallen so far that she no longer cared.
That was his victory right there. The rest was just mop-up. We won't be going through the jungle, he said. I have a ship on station with a regiment of troopers. Nick says you have subspace at the Lorshan Pass Caverns. We can be out of the system less than a day after we get there.
She lifted her head again, and there was still no hope in her eyes.
It'll take 2 days to get there. If you're still here in 2 hours, Carr will kill you. 2 minutes.
Leave Vaster to me.
Mace leaned forward, resting his forearms on the howdah's polished rail.
I am not leaving without you.
You have to.
Let me put it another way. Mace took a deep breath. Master Deepa Bilaba, by my authority as a senior member of the Jedi Council and general of the Grand Army of the Republic, you are hereby relieved of command of Republic forces on Harun Kaul, uniformed and irregular.
Deepa shook her head.
You can't. You can't.
Deepa, May said sadly, you are under arrest.
This is ridiculous.
Yes, and absolutely serious.
She nodded slowly, and she found a smile once more. A sad, quiet smile, edged with bitter knowledge.
Will you accept my parole? If I give my word not to attempt escape?
I will always trust you, Deepa.
Mace leapt lightly down from the Ankox.
Carr Vaster, we need to talk.
We do not.
Vaster did not meet his eyes.
I have grassers saddled and supplied. Take them and the boy and go.
You know, Mace said, I don't much care for your tone.
Go!
Vaster's roar carried tectonic power.
Go before I forget my promise to spare you.
Mace turned to one of the Ack guards.
Does he always yammer like this?
He'd quiet down if you got him fixed.
The Ack went pale. He shook his head urgently.
Really, really don't want to talk to Carr like this, you? Really, really, really?
Oh, right. Sure. He's not so good with basic.
Tendons stood out like cables in the Lor Pelek's neck. Slowly, deliberately, his left hand tucked behind the shield on his right arm. He pulled it down into fighting position, carefully avoiding its razor edges. Just as slowly and deliberately, he did the same with the other. Mace walked calmly out of the center of the ring, straight toward Vaster, thumb still hooked inside his vest. Looking straight up into Vaster's eyes, Mace swung his vest open to display the hand grip of his lightsaber. Then he shrugged out of the vest, folded it once, and tossed it over his shoulder with effortless accuracy, right into the hands of an astonished Nick Rostu, with his lightsaber still inside it. "That's how much you scare me." Vaster shifted his weight to throw himself into a leap, but then froze as though an invisible leash had snapped tight around his neck. He glanced back at the shadow behind the curtains of the howdah for a moment. When he turned toward Mace once more, his lips were drawn back into a predator's grin, and his eyes burned like twin cauldery.
"Deepa prefers that you live, but she doesn't mind if you get hurt."
Mace shrugged. "As long as she won't mind when you get hurt." Vaster began to unbuckle his shields. Mace turned his back on the Lor Pelic contemptuously and strolled toward the center of the ring of axe and men. There was nothing either slow or deliberate about the way Vaster shook the shields off his arms. A whipping snap of the wrist that flung them down to clatter against the rim of the Ankox's shell. The Lor Pelic crouched and lowered one hand to the ground, digging into the leaf mold, his sweat-glistening chest heaving, breath-pumping darkness into him and out again, gathering rage, gathering power. The shimmer around him had gone from red to black. Mace shook his arms loose. "Rules?" Vaster's reply was the snort of a hunting yak.
"Jungle rules."
A burst of power launched the Lor Pelic as a human missile, clawing its way through the twilight toward the Jedi Master. Jungle rules it is, then, Mace thought, and leapt to meet him in midair. They collided with a crash that shook the jungle around them. The collision was not just of two human bodies, but of two node channels of the Force. Invisible energy crackled, and vivid blue gap sparks arced from leaf to leaf in the canopy above. They hung in the air, supported by power, grappling, tearing at each other's flesh. Vaster seemed to be all teeth and claws and fierce snarling assault. Arms like girders of durasteel caught Mace in an unbreakable hug, pinning the Jedi's elbows to his creaking ribs. Mace answered swifter than thought, with an instinctive headbutt that split the skin on one of Vaster's cheekbones. The Lor Pelic lowered his head to Mace's shoulder as though to snuggle in like a lover, then sank his needle teeth deep into Mace's neck, chewing for his carotid artery. Mace jerked a knee up to slam the inside of Vaster's thigh. Vaster only grunted and bit down harder, twisting his head from side to side. His jaw pressure on the artery was restricting its blood flow. Billowing clouds of darkness gathered in Mace's brain. But when Mace fired the knee again, Vaster jerked his legs out of the way. Mace's knee caught him a decimeter below the navel. This brought a sharper grunt and a snarl that vibrated in Mace's neck. But instead of withdrawing his knee for another strike, Mace dug it in harder, forcing Vaster's body away from his own. This created just enough space that Mace could slip one arm up between their chests and could stab his stiffened fingers into the notch of Vaster's collarbone and shove. With a convulsive gasp of astonishment, the Lor Pelic released Mace's neck. Mace kept on shoving, jamming his fingers into Vaster's windpipe. Vaster gagged, and his massive arms loosened. Too engaged in intimate combat to maintain their flow with the Force, the power that had held them in the air deserted them, and they fell, tumbling. And as Mace finally pushed Vaster off him, he managed to sneak in a quick snapping kick to the point of Vaster's chin that sent the Lor Pelic whirling like a top-spun ball. Mace recovered his Force touch in time to flip upright and land in a balanced crouch. Vaster landed on all fours, absorbing the shock as effortlessly as a vine cat. They looked at each other. Vaster's growl resonated in Mace's chest.
"Not many men can break my grip. You won't do it twice."
Mace didn't answer. Vaster was probably right. Vaster stalked toward him on all fours. Without warning, Vaster's stalk became a lightning lunge, fingers hooked like talons, his arms sweeping wide to close on Mace once more. But Mace wasn't there anymore. A slight sidestep and a weave of his head snuck him to the outside of Vaster's lunge, and his fist whipped backhand to snap Vaster in the base of the skull as he passed. A knockout blow. But Vaster must have felt it coming. He pitched forward, rolling with the punch so that it flipped him end for end. He landed in perfect balance and sprang again, straight up. The kick Mace had aimed at his kidneys only grazed his calf muscle. He used the impact to whirl in the air so that he could fall upon the Jedi Master like a branch leopard taking a tusker. But what he fell upon was Mace's fist, driven upward into his solar plexus by the combined power of the Force and nearly 50 years of Jedi combat training. Mace's hand sank into the wrist, and Vaster's fighting snarl became an agonized struggle for breath. Mace used the Force to hurl him off and send him tumbling through the air to slam into the flank of an agitated Ak-Dog. Eyes glazing, half-stunned, the Lorpelic slid bonelessly down the Ak's armored ribs and staggered as his feet skidded over gnarled roots. Standing toe-to-toe, the top of Mace's head barely came to the level of Vaster's chin, and you could have tucked Mace's whole thick-muscled upper body inside Vaster's chest with room to spare. And even hurt, lurching drunkenly, Vaster still could whip his arms in blindingly fast raking slaps at Mace's head and wounded neck. But where Vaster's speed was blinding, Mace's was invisible. Not one of those slaps connected. Before Vaster could even focus his eyes, Mace had hit him 6 times, 2 thundering hooks to his short ribs, a knee slamming hard into the same thigh he'd hit before, an elbow snapping up to the point of his chin, and 2 devastating palm strikes to either hinge of his jaw. "This is called Vapad, Kar." A fierce light burned in Mace's eyes. "How many arms do you see?" Then he hit Vaster 2 times in the nose before the Lorpelic could even blink. Vaster howled in pain and raging disbelief, falling back against the Ak-Dog's flank once more, twisting and turning to try to find some way to avoid the Jedi's flashing hands. The Lorpelic sprang sideways, diving away. Mace let him go. "Go and run, Kar. This is over. You lose. I'm the big dog here." Vaster turned his dive into a roll and spun to face the Jedi Master from 1 knee. And before Mace had even finished speaking, the Force whirled around him, and Mace found himself wrenched off the ground, hurtling backward through the air to slam against the smooth-barked gray trunk of a meter-thick Lammas oak. The whole tree shivered with the impact, and a spiral galaxy birthed itself inside Mace's head. He thought, "I was wondering when we'd get to this part." Vaster's face tightened. Strength must have been returning to his nerve-punched arms already, because he managed to raise one and gesture as though throwing a stone. Mace was whirled forward from the tree to crash against the skull of an astonished Ak-Dog. The impact folded him over the dog's head and blasted the breath from his lungs. The dog's crown spines gashed Mace's abdomen, and when it tossed Mace aside with a twitch of its head like a Nymalian water ox, his blood ran down the black outer shells of its eyes. Jedi Padawans learn to counter Force Kinesis before they even begin lightsaber training. Still in the air, Mace sensed the flow of power that held Vaster's grip upon him. With a sigh, he allowed his center, Vaster's point of Force contact, to relax and ground Vaster's power back into the jungle around them. And that jungle came to life. A grip leaf trailer snaked down from above and seized one of Mace's ankles in its unbreakable clutch. His airborne tumble became a wide swinging head down arc. Grip leaf trailers only become tighter as their victim struggles, and their fibers are nearly as strong as Durasteel cable. They cannot be broken by mortal strength. This one squeezed his ankle, drawing blood with the edges of its sharp waxy leaves. Another trailer reached down his other ankle, and from his upside-down vantage, he could see a thick blade-thorned length of brass vine curving toward his neck. He almost reached into the Force for his lightsaber, but that would be admitting defeat. Time to be clever. He used the Force to shove the grip-leaf trailer so that the arc of his swing sent him whirling out over the ring of dogs and men. One of the Ak-Guards smirked at him as he swung overhead. "Big dog, more like little Tusk Pig. When his swing carried him back in, Mace reached down and grabbed the Ack Guard by the arm, yanking him into the air. Drawing upon the force for a burst of strength, Mace whipped the astonished guard up and over and used the edge of his razor-sharp shield to slice through the trailer before releasing him to flail helplessly through the air and crash into the jungle darkness. Mace turned his own fall into a flip that landed him on an Ack Dog's shoulders. He bounded off into the air, and Vaster's force grip seized him again. Vaster was on his feet now, and his arms didn't seem hurt at all. His blood-smeared mouth spread wide in a howl of triumph as he yanked Mace through the multicolored glowvine-shaded night, pulling him in while he opened his arms for that lethal embrace. Mace thought, well, if you insist. Instead of resisting or grounding the power of Vaster's force grip, Mace added his own strength to it. The speed of his flight suddenly doubled. Vaster had only time to widen his eyes in dismay as Mace flipped headfirst in the air. The top of his head speared into Vaster's gut and drove the Lord Pelic to the ground as though he'd been hit by a concussion missile. On the other hand, Vaster's stomach wasn't much softer than that Lammas oak. The impact didn't do Mace's head a lot of good either. Another spiral galaxy blossomed where the first had been as Mace rolled off him, lying on his back while he watched stellar clusters wheel inside his skull. Vaster lay beside him, making faint panting noises while he tried to pull air into his spasming chest. Vaster's breath began to return in great whooping gasps, and Mace knew his time was running out. He shook the stars out of his head and reached down to his ankle to unwrap the severed gripleaf trailer. Limp now, dying, it was unresisting as an ordinary rope. Mace took one end in each fist, and as Vaster rolled over and gained his hands and knees, Mace slipped a loop of the trailer over Vaster's head from behind and tightened it around his throat. Vaster straightened, and his hands went to his throat, clawing at Mace's improvised garrote. But not even he was strong enough to break a gripleaf trailer with his bare hands. His face darkened, swelling with blood. The back of his neck bulged. Veins writhed across his temples and forehead. 10 seconds, Mace thought, hanging on, wedging his knees into Vaster's back. 10 seconds and out. Vaster got 1 foot under him. Mace swallowed, gasping for breath, as he tried to tighten the trailer around the Lord Pelic's throat. In an eye blink, Vaster's grip shifted from the gripleaf trailer to Mace's wrists. He threw himself forward, bent at the waist, and with a surge of incredible strength, yanked the Jedi Master over his head and slammed him bodily to the ground. The impact replaced the stars in Mace's head with billowing black nebulae. He'd never gotten his breath back properly after landing on the Ack Dog, and now he couldn't breathe at all. The jungle above faded into a black haze. Through the darkness descending inside his skull, he barely caught a glimpse of Vaster leaping into the air to drop a body slam that would finish him. With a gasp, he rolled aside, and Vaster landed hard on the ground beside him. Mace dizzily tried to pull himself up to his hands and knees. Vaster was still down, his hands clawing weakly at Mace's flanks. Mace pushed him off and made it to his knees. Though Mace couldn't breathe, could barely see through the black and red haze inside his head, he could draw upon the force to throw himself upright, and he lunged at Vaster, whirling, hands clasped together to deliver every erg of power at his command into one last thundering punch that lifted Vaster bodily off the ground, flipped him over backwards, and dropped him on the back of his neck. Mace swayed, almost out on his feet. The jungle hazed in and out of focus. All he could clearly see was the Lord Pelic climbing to his feet. Vaster was smiling.
Is that the best you have?
I'm just...
Mace gasped for breath. His arms came up slowly. Each one felt like it was made out of collapsium.
Just getting started.
One of those open-handed slaps flashed out of the darkness. The next thing of which Mace was aware was a bell-like ringing in his ears and the grip of Vaster's huge hand around his neck, holding him up off the jungle's floor. Mace's eyelids fluttered open. Vaster's blood-smeared grin was the only thing in the world. Vaster growled.
How many arms do you see?
Mace didn't answer. He certainly didn't see the one attached to the hand that snuffed the world like a blown-out candle. In the darkness, a smell of ammonia and rotten meat. Predator breath. A dry, rough tongue the size of his lost kit bag licked him back to consciousness, and Mace opened his eyes. The ACK guards were crowded around him, leaning over, their faces in deep shadow, haloed by the pulsing light of the glow vines in the canopy. One now pushed the nose of the ACK dog, who'd been licking Mace's unconscious body, so that the great beast backed up. Carr Vaster stepped into the gap. He barked something, and one of the ACK guards stepped away for a brief moment. The ACK guard returned, dragging Nick. Vaster growled. Nick said,
"Hey, why are you telling me?"
Vaster's growl sharpened, and Nick flinched away from him. Nick swallowed hard.
"He says, come on. You wanted to be the big dog. Get up and fight."
Nick lowered his voice.
"I mean, you can get up, right? If you want to, I mean, I got odds. It's worth 500 creds. I'll split it with you."
"No," May said. He couldn't find a place on his body that did not hurt.
"No more fighting. I've had enough. You win."
Vaster seized Mace's shoulder in one enormous hand and stood, pulling the Jedi Master upright without apparent effort.
Tell them who is the big dog here.
Mace hung his head, careful not to meet Vaster's eye.
"You are..."
He coughed, and blood bubbled from his smashed mouth.
"You're the big dog.
Tell them you were wrong to take my prisoners. Tell them you were wrong to let them go."
"I was wrong to take your prisoners. I was wrong to let them go."
"Tell them you are sorry that you challenged me. And you will never do it again."
"I am sorry that I challenged you. I will never challenge you again."
A twitch of motion in his peripheral vision. Nick had let Mace's vest unroll from his hand. Now he held it alongside his leg. He gave it another suggestive twitch. Mace could feel the lightsaber within it. He met Nick's eye. Nick deliberately looked away, miming a nonchalant whistle while he twitched the vest one more time. A twist of the Force, no more effort than Nick expended to wiggle the vest, would bring that lightsaber to Mace's hands. Mace said slowly,
"Carr, my weapon is in that vest. May I have it?"
He kept his eyes fixed resolutely on the Lord Pelleck's chest.
"Please."
Vaster took the vest and pulled Mace's lightsaber out of its pocket.
"This is yours."
"Yes, Carr," Mace said quietly. "It's my only weapon. I won't be much good to anyone without it."
"You're not much good to anyone with it,"
Vaster grunted. He held it out to Mace, but when the Jedi Master extended a hesitant hand to take it, Vaster flipped it carelessly away from him. The ACK guard he'd purred at snatched it from the air. The guard held it in one hand. The vibro shield on his other arm whined to life.
"Carr."
Through the gauzy opacity of the curtained howdah above, Deepa's voice had an eerie power, and it seemed to come from everywhere at once.
"To send him out into the jungle without his weapon would be murder, Carr. He is not the enemy."
"Not your enemy, perhaps."
"Please, Carr, keep it safe for him and return it to him when he departs."
"He is departing now."
"He cannot travel," Deepa said. "Can you not feel it? You hurt him, Carr. Hurt him badly. He needs rest and medical treatment. Let us take him to the base. He can ride the Ankhoks with me. I'll keep him out of trouble. You can keep his lightsaber yourself. You've shown him he cannot face you without it."
Vaster's inhuman stare searched the blank face of the howdah, but now night had fully fallen. Glowvine light shimmered off the curtains, and nothing could be seen within. Finally, he gave an irritable shrug and extended a hand. The Ack guard tossed the hand grip back to him, and Vastr tucked it into the waistband of his catskin pants.
You might remember that this all began because you refused to come when I told you.
Yes, May said. Yes, I remember.
He picked up the vest and slipped it on. The sting of dirt in open wounds announced that the Lammas Oak's bark had torn his back.
If there is a next time, Doshalo, it will be your last time.
Yes, Carr, I know.
He looked at Nick, who was now sitting on the ground, staring balefully at Vastr.
Come on, May said softly. I'll need you to help me up onto the Ankox.
From the private journals of Mace Windu.
Vastr was willing to let Nick help me, and treat my more serious injuries with supplies from a captured medpack. Nick was still simmering as he helped me to my feet, muttering under his breath a continuous stream of invective, characterizing Vastr as a lizard-faced frog-swallower and a demented scab-chewing turtle-sacker, and a variety of other names that I don't feel comfortable recording, even in a private journal. And he expressed the desire to see how tough that monkey hunker is with a frag grenade shoved up his... I told him I was sorry about his 500 credits, and pointed out to him, gently, that no one had told him to bet on me. He turned on me then, instantly furious, hissing savagely to keep his voice down, as the Ack guards and the dogs were still milling about. This isn't about money. I don't care about the credits. He stopped himself, blinking, and his familiar smile flickered briefly across his lips. Shee, did I really just say that? Wow. So okay, sure, I care about the money. I care about the money a lot. But that's not why I'm angry. I nodded and told him I understood. He was angry at me. He felt like I had let him down. Not me, he said. I mean, come on. Jedi is supposed to stand for something, aren't you? As Nick helped me up onto the Ankox, I discovered what had made him so angry with me. More than anything else, it was that I'd declared we had been wrong to free the prisoners. I don't care what you say, he muttered darkly. I don't care what Carr says. There were kids there, and wounded. I mean, those Balawai, they weren't evil. They were just people like us. It dawned on me then that Nick was proud of himself, proud of what we had done. I hope I never forget the fierce conviction on his face as he helped me climb the extended leg of the Ankox and clambered up onto its dorsal shell. Just because Carr beat you like a rented gong doesn't mean he was right. Just because he won doesn't mean you were wrong to challenge him. I can't believe you'd ever say those things, he said. His answer came from within the curtain darkness of the howdah at the top of the curved shell. If you spend much time around us, Nick, you will learn. Deepa's voice was strong and clear, and as sane and gentle as it has always been in my heart. You will learn that Jedi do not always tell the truth. She pulled back the curtain once more and pushed open the small swing gate in the rail. Come on in. You look like you might want to lie down. I might, I admitted. This hasn't been my best couple of days. She took my hand to steady me as I stepped into the howdah, and she made room for me on the chaise. I have to hand it to you, Mace, she said with a softly ironic smile. You still take a beating as well as any man in the galaxy. Nick's eyes bulged as though his head might explode. I knew it. He shook a fiercely triumphant fist in my face. I knew it. I knew you could take him. We share a bond in the Force now, Nick. Did it feel like I threw the fight? He shook his head. As you said earlier, Vastr is a difficult man to lie to. He would have known if I was holding back. Then the beating would have been much worse, and he might very well have killed me. What I did was pick a fight I knew I couldn't win. Couldn't? He said. Vastr is very powerful. Half my age and twice my size. Training and experience can compensate only up to a point, and he is naturally ferocious in a way that no Jedi can duplicate. Nick said, You're telling me you twisted his nose like that, knowing he was gonna beat you so bad your whole family would bleed? I shrugged. I didn't have to win. All I had to do was fight.
From the private journals of Mace Windu.
Car Shatterpoint, Deepa murmured. You saw it all along. I nodded. I explained that a fight between Car and myself was inevitable. Two alpha males in the same pack. I could smell it on him even during the battle at the outpost when we first met. My only hope of a good outcome was to make it personal and immediate. And unarmed. If the fight hadn't happened, he and the axe might very well have killed Nick and me both for setting free the prisoners. If he and I had gone at it blade to shield, I would be dead now. Even if I'd killed him, the axe guards and the dogs would have torn me to shreds. And Deepa, too, if she'd tried to save me. We'd only barely survived being attacked by three axe in the Circus Horrificus. Against a dozen? Well, it didn't happen that way. Because I knew what Carr really wanted, in the grip as he was of his alpha male jungle instincts. He wanted me to submit. And, like many other pack hunters, once his rival has submitted, his instincts led him to allow that rival to peacefully sniff around the fringes of his pack, so long as I did not renew my challenge. That's why you gave him your lightsaber, so he wouldn't feel threatened, Nick said. I shook my head, and for a moment, I was tempted to smile. No, I would have let him cut it up. You would? If it would make him more comfortable with letting me stay, of course. A lightsaber can be repaired or rebuilt. But I admit, Deepa's idea was a stroke of genius. She smiled at me. I am a bit proud of myself for that. Nick again expressed his confusion, and I explained. Even with the Force, I can't pick Carr out from the jungle around us. He is so much a part of it, and it of him, that he's practically invisible. My lightsaber, on the other hand. I get it, Nick breathed. As long as he carries it. Exactly. I could feel it even now. I knew, without thinking its precise position relative to my own. It is a bell collar that Deepa managed to buckle onto a singularly ferocious vine cat.
From the private journals of Mace Windu.
Much of the day we spent talking about Carr Vastor. Deepa has spared me many of the less savory details, but she has told me enough. More than enough. For example, when he calls me Doshalo, it's not just an expression. If what he has told Deepa is the truth, Carr Vastor and I are the last of the Windu. When I think of my Doshalai dead and scattered, Windu heritage and traditions perishing in blood and darkness, I feel only abstract sadness. Any tale of pointless suffering and loss is sad to me. I would change them all if I could, not just my own. I would certainly change Carr's. It seems that, as a young man, Carr Vastor was fairly ordinary. More in touch with Pelikotan than most, but not in any other way unusual. When he was 14, he saw his whole family massacred by jungle prospectors. One of the casual atrocities that characterized this war. I do not know how it is that he alone escaped. The stories Deepa has heard from various Koronai are contradictory. Carr himself, it seems, will not discuss it. What we do know is that after witnessing the murders of his entire family, he was left alone in the jungle, without weapons, without grasses, without axe or people, food or supplies of any kind, and that he lived in the jungle, alone, for more than a standard year. This is what he meant when he said he had survived Tan Peltrokal. I believe that his ability to form human speech was part of the price he paid for his survival. All Jedi know that power must be paid for. The Force maintains a balance that cannot be defied. Pelikotan traded him power for his humanity. It was earlier this evening that I learned the real truth of Carr Vastor, not only who he is and why he is, but what he means. Somewhere along our line of march, Carr had located a cave that he deemed adequate to shelter a fire from gunship or satellite detection, and so he set about curing Besh and Chalk's fever wasp infestation. Besh and Chalk had remained in phenatazine suspension, tied to a grass's travoy like a bundle of cargo. Deepa was in attendance, as was I, as well as a select few others. A pair of the ACK guards had carried her, Shez and all, in from her howdah. She lay back with one slim arm across her eyes. She was having another of her headaches, and the light from the fire of Tirun, the local wood that burns white hot, was causing her pain. I suspect she might have preferred to skip the whole business. Even so, when Carr laid the still forms of Besh and Chalk face down on the mossy floor of the cave and tore open the backs of their tunics, Deepa stirred and sat forward. Carr simply squatted beside the two, humming tunelessly under his breath, while a Quarren I did not recognize injected them with the antidote. Vaster's humming deepened and found a pulsing rhythm like the slow beat of a human heart. He extended his hands and closed his eyes and hummed, and I could feel motion in the force, a swirl of power very unlike any I felt from a Jedi healer, or anyone else for that matter. A streak of red painted itself along their spines, and a moment later, this red suddenly blossomed into the glistening wetness of fresh blood oozing through their skin. And details, I suppose, are unnecessary. Suffice it to say that Carr had somehow used the Force, used Pelikotan, to persuade the fever wasp larvae that they were in the wrong place to hatch. Using the same animal tropism that draws them from the site of the wasp sting to cluster along the victim's central nervous system, Carr induced them to migrate out of Besh and Chalk entirely. And such was his power that the entire wriggling mass of them, nearly a kilo all told, squirmed its way straight into the blaze, where the larvae popped while they roasted with a stench like burning hair. In the midst of this extraordinary display, Deepa leaned close to me and whispered, "Don't you ever wonder if we might be wrong?" I didn't understand what she was talking about, and she told me how she and Carr Vaster had managed to drive the Separatists off this world. The Confederacy had been using the Pelikbaw spaceport as a base for the repair, refit, and resupply of the droid starfighters they had used to picket the Alha system. These operations required large numbers of civilian employees. Her strategy was simple. She proved to these civilian employees that the Separatist military and the Balawai militia together were powerless to protect them. There was no pitched battle, nothing heroic or colorful, just an unending series of gruesome killings, one or two at a time. At first, the Separatists had flooded Pelikbaw with their forces, but battle droids are as vulnerable to the metal-eating fungi as are simple blasters, and the soldiers of flesh and blood die just as easily as civilians. The essence of guerrilla warfare. The real target is not the enemy's emplacements or even their lives. The target is the enemy's will to fight. Wars are won not by killing enemies, but by terrorizing them until they give up and go home. "That's why I brought you to Harun Kaul," she said. "I wanted to show you what winning soldiers will look like." She pointed past the fire. "That is the Jedi of the future, Mace. Right there." She was pointing at Carr Vaster. "Which is why, at this black hour, long after midnight and long before dawn, as the glow vines weaken and predators go quiet, when only sleep has meaning, I lie upon my bedroll and stare at the black leaves above, and think of tomorrow. Tomorrow, we leave this place."